Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Silver Screen and Roll Podcast Network. This is I Love Basketball. I'm your host, Sabrina Merchants, joined as always by Raj Jabalu. Raj, there have been 3 days on this podcast feed without talk about the Lakers. I feel like it's false advertising. I want to apologize to the people. I did not realize how much Anthony Irwin carries this feed. Raj, what have you been doing without listening to Silver Screen and Roll Podcasts for the last 3 days?
Well, honestly, Sabrina, I've been kind of upset. I mean, last week that we recorded, we talked about Dennis Schroeder. We did one pod, and all of a sudden, Dennis Schroeder is a Laker. We've done like three Kyrie pods, and he
to
is
be
still
fair, this is the second time we've brought up Dennis Schroeder.
That's fair. But I mean, he was a Laker right away. I mean, we did so many Kyrie pods, and he's still a Brooklyn Nets. I mean, I think our powers are kind of used in the wrong places. They're not being harnessed correctly.
Should we start talking about Miles Turner? I have some thoughts about the Miles Turner fit. I think just defensively, he makes so much sense next to Anthony Davis. Because I love Anthony Davis as a defensive four, honestly. Like, even though he is a great rim protector, I just think he's such a phenomenal wing defender. And then when you get him out on the perimeter and he gets to rim run back on offense, it's such a fantastic use of his talents, which would, you know, be enabled by Miles Turner. And then the fact that Anthony Davis could play the five next to Miles Turner as like an offensive four. I don't know. It's too good to be true. That's the problem.
I'm going to bring up Buddy Hield as well. If we're kind of getting, we're trying to, you know, get people to the Lakers. I think Sham said this week.
I can't believe we don't have Buddy Hield. That trade was done.
Yeah, it was
so
close. Who
thought he was going to Sacramento?
It was so close. But yeah, Shams came out this week, I think, and said the Lakers were on it. We're not interested in giving up two first round picks. And I've stayed the same. I said the only reason I wouldn't do the Indiana deal because I thought there was a point guard in Brooklyn who was open and on the table. So that would have been great if we can kind of get that one into existence as well. If that can if Miles Turner and Buddy Hield can be Lakers next week, that'd be really nice. But I doubt it. I think the roster is what it is.
It is what it is. Quick question before we dive into the actualities of the Lakers roster. Who has had a worse offseason, the Lakers or the Celtics?
So I think I saw this question kind of put up. I don't know how you have a bad offseason when you get Malcolm Brogdon for almost nothing. I mean, I think that part was kind of lost in there.
They did give up a first round pick.
I mean, a Boston first round pick, they're going to be good this year, sadly. So I don't see that as much and didn't really give any players that were in their rotation. Losing your head coach is tough, though, for a whole year.
Robert Williams going under the knife again, too, I think is a big deal.
Yeah, he has health concerns for sure. But I mean, it's close. I would say the Lakers still, because they really didn't improve and the Celtics were just in the NBA finals. The bar that they would have to
I'm not saying who ended the offseason in a worse place. I'm saying who had a worse offseason.
I mean, I think getting Malcolm Brogdon kind of trumps
the Dennis Schroeder disrespect once again, Rush.
I love Dennis Schroeder, but yeah, I think Malcolm Brown is a better player and fits kind of what they need, and they don't actually need him to play a bunch of games either. So defensive point guard, again, got him for nothing, which again goes back to the ask. Sabrina Bojan Bogdanovic went for, what was the exact trade that he went for? Kelly
Olynyk and Saben Lee.
Really quickly, humor me for 2 seconds here. let the money be aside. Is THT and Stanley Johnson not a better package than that?
I think it's better. It's
okay.
So Saben Lee, admittedly, I don't watch a ton of the Detroit Pistons.
I'm shocked.
But this was a guy that they were probably just going to have to cut because they had 16 players under contract heading into the season. And you know, obviously have to cut down to 15. He probably wasn't going to make the final team. And somehow he's what the young player prospect in this deal. Like that doesn't make any sense to me. I like Kelly Olynyk just fine, but like he's the kind of guy who helps. I guess he's the kind of guy who you can like put next to Colin Sexton and say, hey, here's a pick and pop guy for you to play with. Like, let's see what you can do with the ball in your hands all the time. But like, is that important? Like, I think DHG is a far better upside play than, you know, Saben Lee. I mean, it has literally been less than 2 years since THT was like, I guess more than 2 years because it was like earlier in September. But, you know, he was taking it, like giving James Harden the business in a playoff game. Like, it was not that long ago.
No, and obviously he's not the prize prospect he was. And this is being sold, obviously,
but
as a salary.
He's better than Saben Lee.
But I don't think that's what the trade is, though. So, first of all, I'm shocked that Bogdanovich didn't go for a first. I honestly thought he would at least fetch a late first from some contender.
I'm sure Phoenix would have given up a late first and Jay Crowder for Bojan Bogdanovich. They have famously expressed that they give zero shits about the draft.
Jay Crowder, is he signed?
Expiring contract.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. See, I'm shocked. And I think that deal should have been done. But yeah, I'm shocked that he didn't go for a first. And I would have loved Bogdanovich. I thought he would have costed a first to get. I'm confused at that deal. They're selling it as a salary dump, right? Olynyk's only guaranteed
$3
million.
Why do you need to dump an expiring salary? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't really understand either. And they're saying as Olynyk is a power forward that they can, you know, fill and play. They're trying to lose as many games as possible.
I mentioned the roster crunch with Detroit, right? Utah has a roster crunch. They have expanded said roster crunch by netting an extra player in this deal. I don't understand. Like, I saw some people saying that, oh, Utah gets a little bit further from the salary cap apron because they triggered the hard cap with the Colin Sexton sign and trade. That only matters if you're going to make future trades, right? But if you're just going to be dumping, you know, vets for pennies on the dollar, why not just keep them?
That's
set a
my
nice
question,
veteran culture for all the youngins in Utah. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand what the rush was as well. I feel like they could have took him into the season at least. What are you, like, send him home, don't play him. You're trying to lose as much as possible. I was surprised at that trade. And, you know, just transitioning, I think that was the end of any Russ deal, Serena. I think that was it. I think that was the last hope. We had the GM of the Pacers go on the radio and say that Miles Turner is starting at center for the Indiana Pacers this season. Now, GMs go back all the time. They say things that aren't true. But Miles Turner also followed that by retweeting an Indiana Pacer page and then putting out the Pacer emoji colors. He tweeted out the emoji colors in the Indiana color scheme. So I think that put an end to that too. And it looks like in a few days here, we are going to get started with this team taking the floor.
Remember when we had that TikTok model who wanted to lure Miles Turner to Los Angeles? Those are the days, Raj.
Gotta go find her account and get her back. Get her back in the business.
It's so weird. It's so weird. Like, just the dichotomy between how stars are, like, nominal stars, I'm using air quotes here, like people who have been named to one all-star team, the price that they fetched this offseason versus players who have not made an all-star team or I think are perfectly capable role players. Like, Jeremy Grant went for a lot less than I thought he would. Bojan Bogdanovic went for a lot less than I thought he would. I mean, we talk a lot about how the Lakers prize stars over role players. Like, the way they value the two is like so out of whack, right? They're willing to surrender three quality role players for Russell Westbrook. It's like the whole league is on that now. Everybody's like, F it. I want only stars. I'm going to give all of the draft picks in the world to get stars. But for a guy who's, you know, never going to sniff an all-star nod, like, no, God forbid I send a pick.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, they value that. And like we had the Spurs kind of thing come out where they can absorb Russell Westbrook's salary. I don't like that deal at all. I'd rather just keep our players, honestly. Players coming back and that don't excite me enough to make a move. I'd rather see what this team is, and I think I'll get that chance. But yeah, I mean, it looks like we're gonna move forward here with Russell Westbrook on the roster. I'm fascinated how Rob Pelinka is gonna sell this in a few days here when he has to
I think
speak.
Rob Pelinka needed 4 more days to figure out how he was going to sell.
I think he's had enough time. I think he's had enough time to kind of put that together. Because he can't say we're not done. I'm not buying that at all. The first preseason game is in 11 days. I feel like I'm the only one counting down to this.
I haven't really seen your countdowns on Twitter anymore, I gotta be honest. It has not been a daily thing.
I'm giving people a few days break. You know, I think
Sure, sure. I
after the
mean,
first
Monday
game.
is go time. Monday is media day. It's when everybody has to speak. It's when LeBron and Russ have to be in the same room with Patrick Beverley, with Dennis Schroeder, with Darvin Ham, with Rob Pelinka. It's gonna be weird.
Yeah, it's going to be quite the circus. I'm fascinated how they handle it, but I'm excited to hear them hear the GM of our team speak about the vision, right? I want to at least hear what he has to say. Rob Pelinka is an interesting person at these conferences. He always, you know, gives some kind of quote that you can kind of take back, and I'm interested how he sells this roster, because that's his job on Monday, is to sell whatever vision this was, and I'm interested to hear it.
I am not holding my breath for anything interesting from Rob Pelinka. That ship has sailed.
I'm still holding mine, so
And thus lies the dichotomy between you and me and how we approach the Lakers rush. All right. So you
absolutely.
wanted to talk about the fit of Russell Westbrook on the Lakers because we have spent most of the offseason dancing around that particular subject, talking about anything else but that. All of the players that could have been inquired in place of Russell Westbrook, how they could fit on the Lakers. But here we are,
Yes.
4 days, 3 days from training camp. Russell Westbrook is a Laker, probably will be starting. I assume you have also arrived at that conclusion. So
Yes.
tell me, Raj, what do you want to get into specifically in terms of Russ in year two?
Okay, I'm excited about this because I feel like, again, like you've said, a lot of the offseason has not been about the basketball, and that's
It has
fair.
not.
I felt like even the whole league, honestly, the national media, a lot of the news has not really been on the court. So that's what I'd like to get into today. Just want you to humor me a little bit with this, because I want to work backwards from it working out, if that makes sense. I think most people have worked from the point of through the prism of it not working, which I
Sure.
totally get, you know what I mean? So
It is the
this is the
status quo currently.
yeah, so first six games here, I'm gonna go through them. I went through them before, but they go Warriors, Clippers, Blazers, Denver, Wolves, Denver again. So it's Denver twice, you have Minnesota, Clippers, and the Warriors.
I think all of these teams are going to finish ahead of the Lakers in the standings, just FYI.
Absolutely, but let's just say that the season ends on October 30th, which is the sixth game.
Great.
So if they go 3-3, and that's just being, you know, generous, if they can go if they can go 3-3, so the Warriors game's on the road, the Denver game's on the road, the Minnesota game's on the road. The only home games are the Clipper game,
Always
the
a home
Blazers,
game. Yeah.
right. Portland, we get Portland at home, and then we also get one home game against Denver as well in the
Okay.
first six games. So let's say we split the first two, get one win on Denver and win Portland. So that's 3-3. Here's my question, Serena. First, a few caveats here. LeBron and AD played all six of these games. Let's
Okay.
put that first caveat out there. Second, seven caveat. AD's jumper at least exists. It's not thriving. It's not living out here, but you know, it's an existing thing.
So just to clarify, exist means like
He's a
1920
threat.
AD before the bubble.
Sure, it doesn't even have to be that good, but let's just say
Okay.
it's a level where he's a threat.
Can
So
you give me a
here's
number?
let's say he's doing like 32% from three,
Okay. Got it.
and he's like confident in his
He is
mid-range
still
floater.
confident. I don't know why, but he's still confident.
Right. Okay. So here's my question, Sabrina. What does good Russ look like in terms of still kind of pulling it into reality, right? So Russell Westbrook's not going to become Draymond Green.
Correct.
There's people who want to be Draymond Green who never become Draymond Green. Like,
Right.
that's an elite, elite player. But I think Russ still does a few things that are NBA level. I still think he gets to the basket. Now, he doesn't score enough there. His decision making out of that isn't great. But that's still an NBA skill that he has. I'm wondering, What does that look like? If the Lakers are 3-3 and LeBron and AD do their job and Russ is starting playing his 30 minutes a game, what does good Russ look like to you, I guess, in the prism of reality still?
Okay. So I think it's really quick decision making in the half court, attacking the basket as early as possible within the shot clock. So that either results in him getting to the line, driving kicks, or just shifting the defense so that somewhere, you know, it's tilted in favor of someone else than being able to attack like a compromised setup.
Right.
It's not a lot of the standing around, dribbling, pounding the air out of the ball kind of situation. It does mean that he has to be shooting his free throws relatively well. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that Russell Westbrook is all of a sudden going to become a better finisher at the rim, because Lord knows, like, the touch has never really been a big part of his game. But he was a pretty good free throw shooter for a long stretch of his career. I know the rule change kind of effed with that, but I'd like to think that he can, he's an adult, he can find his rhythm again. So he's shooting free throws well, making quick decisions with the ball, right? Just excising all of the non-corner jumpers from his shot diet.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if this sounds too optimistic or not, but I think these are all reasonable things Russell Westbrook can do.
Absolutely.
And then paying attention on defense.
Yes.
Right. So, because we've seen some situations where Russ, like, gets caught ball watching, and then his guy back cuts, and, you know, possession has evaporated for the Lakers. I just need him to pay attention to his assignment. Now, that's going to be a little challenging because we have three guys now in Russ, Pat Bev, and Schroeder, who I'd all characterize their best defensive skill as being point of attack defending. I'm not going to say that they're all good at it, but I would say that their best defensive skill is point of attack defending. And I think the way to optimize Russ is to keep him on the point of attack, because ideally he just provides a little physicality at that position, you know?
Yeah.
Someone's not just going to like bully their way through him the way they would like a, I don't know, an Austin Reeves or Malik Monk or something. But then like that also puts the other guys in positions where they have to defend off the ball, which is not what they're best at. So just to get back to the main point, I think it's like an attentive Russell Westbrook who's not like completely losing his assignment on defense. And then sometimes gets those, you know, gambles, steal, and scores.
For sure. And really quickly on the offense, so Darvin Ham has kind of preached this 4-out-1-in system. He's really trying to get into transition principles, right? And I think
that also means that Russ has to play with Thomas Bryant, I believe, as much as possible.
Well, even with Damian Jones, like,
I don't think
Damian
Jones is a shooter.
No,
so
not
like,
a shooter.
How are you
but
doing 4-out-1-in if AD and Damian Jones are playing together, is my question.
Right. No. Yeah. In that situation, I'm just meaning transition. Like, if you can get a big that's running with him, I think like DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Howard, they just couldn't run with Russ. And I think like with his principles, to me, first of all, I want it to where whoever gets the rebound can kind of push it up. That includes Anthony Davis. I think like his best thing is when he's becoming a guard in that body. And then Russ can kind of push the ball with him. And I think that was kind of the vision last year. I think that's kind of what they foresaw. Obviously, it didn't work out.
You need a lot defense to push the ball.
Absolutely. And with Russ on the defensive end, do you remember the Lakers played the Celtics at home one game, and Russ had a monster dunk that game? It was like his first like coming out party.
This was when Schroeder was on the Celtics.
It was early in the season. Yes. He might have been on the team. I think Tatum and Brown both played that game, I believe. They had like clutch jumps, but we won that game. But they put Russ on Jason Tatum, and like he did a pretty good job, and he was like challenged though, like it was like a challenge to him, and he did his job. He stayed in front, he made him work. I think he had like a big turnover on Tatum in the corner where he knocked it off his foot. And I'm wondering if like Darvin Ham can at least challenge him in a way. Look, it's not fair to Frank Vogel that this is kind of the way that it's playing out, and again, this is leaning on the optimism side, of course. These are all things that aren't extremely likely to happen. I'm just trying to fit into reality. I don't think Russ is all of a sudden, like you said, take away all those non-corner three jumpers. That's not happening. Like, Russ is going to come off a pick and roll and fire in the mid-range even when he's missed the last five. Like,
I am okay with the 15-footer pull-up. I'm not okay with the three-point pull-up.
Yeah. Those are really tough. And teams go so under it. Like, I bet he just So I bet just he just feels this, you know, inclination, like I have to at least keep the defense honest. And again, that brings up the Thomas Bryant point, though. Like that's the counter to a team going under, right? The counter is the big that can pop. Like that's your counter when a team goes so far under. It's why LeBron, if you can give him a big that can pop, like Kevin Love, like when he had AD who can pop out, that's the counter to that. So those are things I think that can happen. Like Russ is still going to lose his man off the ball. He's not going to be great. But Sabrina, can he be average? Like going from what last year was to an average defender? That's a big jump. That would.
I don't think he can be average.
Okay.
I'm thinking peak Russ in OKC. I would never consider him an average defender. It's a good defensive rebounder. That's a skill. Yeah. He definitely takes assignments seriously when like guys try to post him up. For some reason, that is all NBA players care about. Like you can beat them off screens, you can back cut off of them. That doesn't offend them at all. But if you bully them in the post, that really gets their motor running. So that's, you know, the only thing that I've really seen Russ give a lot of effort to defensively. So yeah, I'm not holding my breath for average here because there's just literally no track record of it. The other things I have spoken about have all existed in Russ's game at some point, mostly in the OKC days.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, on this team, he has to be average. Like, we can't have him not be average. Like, that's you're not going
close
to
games
win
with Pat Bev and Dennis Schroeder.
That was my second point, though. So, Darvin, again, I'm going to hold him to these, you know, these quotes that he's given. So he's going to hold Russ accountable. We have 8 guards on the team. Like, there is no reason that Russ should have to play, right? This should be a way to be like, hey, if you're not, you know, if you're not defending, if you're not doing your job, if you're not making your rotation right. Again, I'm not expecting Russ to like stay and become Patrick Beverley. Like it's not who he is. He's not gonna pick up guys 94 feet. Can he at least like play within the scheme? Like can he at least like stay and pinch in the corners and take away the corner three? Like can he be a part of a defense that's successful enough to keep the Lakers 3-3 through 6 games? Like that's my question, can he at least get to that level? And it's crazy that level feels so far. But in OKC, I mean, Russ had such a offensive load. I think people kind of forgave the defensive shortcomings.
Kevin Durant did not.
Well, I mean, Kevin Durant has a lot to say.
So you listed those 5 teams, right? And
yes.
In addition to them being talented teams,
yes,
they also all have very tough matchups for Russell Westbrook. Who is he guarding against the Warriors? Who is he guarding against the Nuggets? I mean, are you going to put him on KCP or like what is happening in these matchups? Who is he guarding against the Blazers? Who's he guarding against the Wolves? Are you going to put him on D'Lo? Like, he's going to lose him on pick and roll after pick and roll after pick and roll. D'Lo and Gobert are going to eat his ass alive.
So I think with the Warriors, since we're going matchup by matchup, I'd put him on Andrew Wiggins.
Okay.
Like I think that's like the best option for you to kind of put him on. The Clippers, it's tough. They are like wing city. Like I'm not really sure where you throw him on the Clippers. I think he takes the Dame matchup pretty personally.
You know, he can't guard Dame. You remember the playoff series between OKC and the Thunder a couple of years back,
absolutely. No, he can't guard Damian Lillard. You're right.
Yeah, is he gonna guard Simons?
Oh, that's another tough matchup. Yeah, I mean who are we putting on Dame in a sense anyway? You know,
I don't feel terrible about putting Dennis Schroeder on Dame. I don't feel terrible about putting Dennis Schroeder on D'Lo. Like, somebody's got to guard Jamal Murray. I don't know who's going to do it. We couldn't do it even when we were a championship team, to be perfectly honest. That is a tough matchup. I'm just saying, if you were expecting an average level defensive effort from Russell Westbrook, these 6 games might not be the best time to judge.
Well, so the reason I picked these 6, Serena, because I think...
Because they're the first 6.
No. The reason I picked these... First of all, we have a bunch of preseason games as well. So I'm taking those as like...
We better beat the Kings during the preseason. If we do not, I'm going to be upset and like very scared for what's going to happen.
Yeah. So again, like I hope these preseason games are taken very seriously. I've said that many times. I've also said I was at the last preseason, our first preseason game last year. People forget some things about that game. Number one, Anthony Davis pleaded to play because he said he didn't like how last year finished, first of all. Second, LeBron sat out, of course, preseason.
Sure, yeah.
Russ looked...
Kendrick Nunn played.
Kendrick Nunn did play that game. During a timeout, Dwight Howard and Kevin Durant got into it, which is a very strange thing about that game.
Oh, I thought this
But
was a game against the Suns. My bad. It was against the Nets. All
the
right.
Nets,
Yeah.
yes. Harden, KD, and Kyrie all didn't play, which is normal, I guess, for their team. But
Preseason. Yeah,
yeah.
sure.
But anyway, yeah, so I'm hoping that's kind of a way our ramp up to this, right? That you shouldn't get to the Warriors and be like, yeah, who's our 10? Like that can't happen this season to me. So the reason I picked these six, because we can't be like 1-5. Like that can't happen to start the season, or I worried they'll lose respect for the season, they'll lose like understanding for like what this team can be. Like I think there needs to be a tone set. 3-3, like I'm expecting 500 from a team with LeBron James, Anthony Davis. I don't think I'm asking for
It's
a
a team
crazy
that did
amount.
not finish close to 500 last year.
A team that got 21 games out of LeBron and AD together.
How did they do when LeBron and AD played together?
Think they went 11-10,
Okay,
but
okay.
so give me 500
I
here
know, but I
is
don't think all those games were against the Clippers, the Nuggets, and the Blazers, right?
they absolutely weren't. What's crazy, the Blazers game is the quote unquote like you have to get in this stretch, which is a
I was
scary
going to say the
part.
Wolves, honestly.
Minnesota expects to be good, like really,
True,
and
true, but
they
we've
expect,
historically done fairly well against Rudy Gobert. Although we're missing
yeah.
Stanley Johnson this time.
But Karl-Anthony Towns absolutely cooks us anytime
Also,
we
good
play.
point. Sweet point, yeah.
Anytime we play, yeah. And Anthony Edwards is just an awful matchup for us unless we're just throwing LeBron on him. They're a tough team.
Austin
I
Reeves is
mean,
going to have to guard Anthony Edwards, and it's going to go poorly.
that's not fair to Austin, but yeah, I just
Not
like
fair that he has to guard him or that it's going to go poorly.
both. But yeah, that's like my point because I think I know people think this is gonna go terribly, and I totally get that feeling. I totally get that understanding. But I mean, this is the roster, and I hope we don't have to punt another season of LeBron James. I think we've already punted one last year. This one I hope is not just about LeBron getting the scoring record, which is a great thing, but there should be some wins accompanied by that. And I'm just curious because Russ is going to play. This idea that we're gonna send him home, I've seen that gone around. Darvin Ham has said too much. He's given out his playbook on how he wants this to work. And I want to see it. I want to see how it looks. And I'm just wondering if Russell Westbrook can be an average starting level point guard, or even below, even right below average starting level point guard, to allow that unit to work, because I think it's important.
Average starting level point guard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just do a little brainstorming here, shall we?
Let's do it.
He's not better than Steph Curry. Is he better than De'Aaron Fox?
Probably not.
Okay. John Wall? All
There's a chance he's better than John Wall.
right, so we have one and a half, let's say. It's not better than Chris Paul.
No.
It's not better than Jamal Murray.
No.
Colin Sexton. I guess he's better than him, sure.
Yeah.
I don't think he's better than Shea.
No.
No. I don't think he's better than D'Lo, which is not a thing that I ever thought I would say, honestly.
Yeah, I
That
guess.
pick and roll jumper like makes a big difference, D'Lo. Makes a big
It
difference.
absolutely does.
Who else? Who we got in the West? He's definitely better than Trey Jones or whoever San Antonio is going to trot out. Like that's 100% clear. I'm not sure who New Orleans' point guard is. Is it Jose
I think they're just gonna
Alvarado?
go all big,
Yeah,
start a
yeah. CJ McCollum maybe is the point guard. If CJ is their point guard, then he is not better than CJ.
No.
He's not better than Ja. So out of the West, we found like maybe three point guards that he's better than.
Sure, but I guess like this exercise is kind of, I get what you're saying, and I guess I what I mean by average point guard, I guess like when you're next to LeBron and AD, your asks are so much le like I don't need much from you, which I guess is contradictory because you're not going to have a good Russell Westbrook if you don't involve him in what you're doing. So I guess
See,
that's
that
like
sounds like a
the
problem to me.
100%, and that's the line I'm trying to walk here. Like, where can like how many pick and rolls can you hand Russ? Like, can like what is the line here? And I think there's a world where Darvin Ham finds that exact balance. I'm wondering if it's the one we're living in. Like, I'm really curious if like if that's the one.
It's like
But
the
I think there.
Doctor Strange at the end of Avengers.
So I was thinking about this, Sabrina. In Oklahoma City, Russ always played with a center inside, right? He always had a center inside. So there are like he's not a like a point guard where he reads the defense two levels ahead like Chris Paul does, right? Like Chris Paul manipulates a defense. I think Russell Westbrook kind of reads like when he drives, he reads the guy coming over.
He
It's a
makes the
different
basic reads very well.
Exactly. And that's a good way, that's a great way to put it. He makes the basic reads very well. But making the basic reads is important. Like
It is
that's
important,
important.
yes.
It's an important job for a guard to do. So like can we make ways to where his reads are a little bit more basic? Like, can we just sit a guy watching OKC? They had Steven Adams in the dunker spot, then they fleshed him out with a bunch of shooters around him. Can we get Russ in positions where he's making dump off passes, where he's making.
What is that lineup?
So I'm hoping that's something like Russ, Pat Bev, LeBron, AD, and Thomas Bryant, where you have
So
shooters
who's the
around.
guy rolling to the basket?
Either it's Thomas Bryant or Anthony Davis rolling to the rim. So if you have AD and Russ running a pick and roll and Thomas Bryant, LeBron, and Pat Bev spaced out, is that enough space? And again, I think the counter to Russ going under is a Thomas Bryant jump shot. Like that's your counter to that move. Or Russ maybe getting enough speed to turn the corner and stuff like that. And again, I'm not saying he's gonna finish well,
Sure,
but
sure.
can you make the he was a like they used to This is a pet play for Oklahoma City where like they'd have a guy in the
He
corner. It'd
hasn't
be
played in Oklahoma City since 2019, Rasha.
no. Absolutely. I'm just talking about straight reads.
Athleticism wise, I feel like it's a big difference between that Russ and this Russ.
I'm not talking about athleticism. I'm just talking about the reads. Like a guy cuts from the corner, he used to hit him on the lob
Sure,
perfectly.
sure.
Right? And those are passes that I think he should still be able to make. There were times last year though, Sabrina, it looked like a lot of us would be like, what are you doing? Right? Like a lot of the times. And I'm not sure if that was just him adjusting to his decline
In
in
fairness,
athleticism.
DeAndre and Dwight could not catch a lot of passes.
There you go as well. So
Damian
can that help?
Jones can.
Damian Jones can, Thomas Bryant can, right? These are energy motor bigs, right? These are guys who are going to run the floor. And that's all I'm saying. That's all I wanted to work from here is like, what does a good lineup work like? And again, it's not that far stretched from reality. Like we're asking Russ, can you pay attention for a few possessions on defense? Like that shouldn't be such a far stretch from reality, right?
Oh man, I'm just thinking about Russ's year in Washington when I know Thomas Bryant was there. I think that was the year he tore his ACL. No, that was the year that he came back from his torn ACL. So it was pretty lame. Or no, he tore his ACL at the end, so he didn't really play with Thomas Bryant. But he had a
No.
lot of success with Daniel Gafford, who's basically just like a high flying rim running guy. So I think that there is a second unit prototype of Russ with Damian Jones that makes sense. If you surround it with shooters, I just think that the lineup gets really small, because
Absolutely.
LeBron has to play the four there. And then who else is going to be like on your wings? And then even then, you're marginalizing a LeBron lineup because you're putting the ball in Russ's hands. Like there just aren't any shooting lineups I can think of that don't have LeBron in them, which is crazy because LeBron is not who I think of as a shooter. Like you're going under on LeBron all the time. Like otherwise it is a freight train with an express route to the basket.
Well, yeah. So I think the bigger issue to me on this roster, just in general, just from like a team building standpoint, we just have too many guards that are also like undersized for even the point guard position, right? Like that's, I mean, they've.
Don't think they're undersized for the point guard position. Okay, I think that's a bit of a stretch.
Okay. But I mean, like 6'1. Dennis Schroeder, 6'1", Patrick
Yeah, but Dennis
Beverley.
Schroeder's got the arms. Like he can
That's
guard
fair.
the point guard position just fine. He can play up to twos just fine. Like I'm not concerned about that
But they
defensively.
shouldn't be threes, right? They should
No,
not be
they should not be
wings.
threes. Yeah.
But they will be because
Yes,
that's the
yes.
roster. That's
I'm just saying that I don't think they're undersized for the point guard position. I think they're
okay.
definitely undersized to play the wing.
Okay. Yeah. So someone brought this up to me on Twitter. They're like, doesn't every team have a bunch of guards? I said, yes, they do. The issue is our guards are in the higher level of talent on the roster. So, like, you need to play Kendrick Nunn, Lonnie Walker, Patrick Beverley, Dennis Schroeder, Russell Westbrook, Austin Reeves. That's six positions for four, for two guard positions. Like, it's tough to me to make out lineups where we survive enough on defense to then make the offense worth it. Like you said, you need to play defense to run in transition. That's why I kind of wanted to stick to the starters, because the second unit gets
haven't quite
extremely
figured
rough.
it out yet.
Yeah, the second unit gets extremely tough. But, like, can a starting lineup of Russ, Pat Bev, or Reeves, whoever you want to put in there,
I think it's
LeBron,
Pat Bev.
I do too. But Russ, Pat Bev, LeBron, AD, and Thomas Bryant, can that be enough of a starting lineup where they're not a negative, like, rating through that? Like, can that at least not destroy you through the game? Like, I think that's extremely important. For like, that doesn't get you a 10-point deficit
If
to start the
that
game.
lineup is not positive, this season is a wash. Like, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Exactly.
Those are five of the best seven players on the Lakers roster. At least four of the best six, I would say. I'm not sure where we count Thomas Bryant at this point. He just fits an important role. But, you know, if that lineup is not winning you minutes, the Lakers are cooked. Well, that's how I see it.
So for any lineup with LeBron and AD on the floor, they need to be kicking ass. Like, that.
Yep,
that's
yep,
just
they do. They do.
That, like, that's just how the roster is made up. And even
and that's
last
just
year,
their talent level that they should be doing, right? Like, I was recording a Clipper podcast earlier in the week, and, like, I was looking at the combo numbers of Kawhi and PG, and they're consistently just double-digit positives when the two of them are on the court together, and it's like, yes, this is what's supposed to happen. Like, this is what happened for the Lakers in 1920 and 2021. And the incredible misstep of roster construction last year prevented that from happening. I think the Lakers tried to make this roster fit better, but no one said yes to their money.
So I think the players fit better conceptually. Like, if every player was like 6'6", like, I would be happy, right? Like, if it was the same players, but they just had a little, like, Lonnie Walker was like 6'7", I'd be like ecstatic with these signings. But you don't get a Lonnie Walker if he's 6'7".
You
right?
Read that article about those men who are undergoing that femur surgery to become 3 inches taller?
I did hear about that. That does not sound safe, but
it's terrifying, honestly, but it's becoming apparently more popular.
Just get that for half our roster. Is that what you're saying?
Everybody needs it.
But yeah, like, so I think, like, Patrick Beverley is kind of, if you were going to build a player, forget the height, but if you're going to build a player to put next to a LeBron and Russ AD theoretical built team, like, Patrick Beverley is the type of guy you'd want, a guy who focuses on defense, can hit, catch, and shoot threes, can attack off the dribble. Thomas Bryant, again, a big man who can shoot, who's athletic, who can run the floor. Those are skills and skill sets that you'd want next to a core that's around these three, because let's face it, that's our core still. That's the team that we have. So 3-3 is not too much to ask. I don't think I'm asking for the moon here. Like, I'm not asking for the moon. 3-3 should not be some gigantic as that's out of reality, right? Like, but I feel like if I tweeted Lakers gonna go 3-3 in this stretch, I would get absolutely murdered.
You told me the Lakers are gonna go 5-1, Roger.
No. I said I hope they. I said I hope they go 5-1. But yeah, I think the Russ conundrum is fascinating, and I think we're gonna get a year two of it. And I want to hear what Pelinka and Ham. Well, Darvin Ham, I think I've heard him kind of go off, but I want to hear.
I don't think Pelinka has a vision for how this is going to work. I think he's just been backed into a corner where it's too expensive to try to get rid of Russ, and so he has to keep him because they still have these pipe dreams of free agency spending in 2023, which you can tell by my use of the word pipe dreams that I don't exactly agree with it. So I think that's where Pelinka stands. I think he's going to take most of the questions about basketball vision to Darvin Ham. Which, you know, that's the job when you get hired as a coach, is you have to
sell,
fall
the
on
team,
your sword, and, you know, say some things that you may not believe in.
Yeah.
3-3, huh? I mean, I still think that all things being equal, having a tougher schedule to start the season is better, just because it is going to take time to figure things out, regardless of whether the schedule is tough or not. And I also understand that it could get really bad really quickly, but maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe that forces change.
I don't want to see what that looks like, Serena. I do not want to see a 1-4 to a roster that's fragile, right? Because it hasn't been together very long. I would like to see, you would like to see a few wins under the belt before you have to go through the storm, right? You'd like to see a few, like, okay, we can get over these hills. Now
we
let's
didn't
go
even
to the
start 1-4 last year. Wow.
We were actually above 500 at the Dallas game. I think it was like the midpoint or something when we played Dallas in the Austin Reaves game winner. We were like 8-7 or
That's
something.
That's a good point.
Like
we were 16-3 when we beat
16-3.
Yeah.
No, 16-3. No, 16-13.
Sorry, 16-13. I'm sorry. I saw it as 16-13 and I just made it feel nicer in my head. But yeah. And then everybody got COVID and, you know, everything fell apart. But yeah, 3-3, I think, you know, ring night is tough. Teams often lose on ring night. We've said this several times. I think the Clippers game is a definite loss. I'm not even trying there. Portland, you know, maybe they have some growing pains too. Minnesota could have some growing. I don't know. It's tricky. It's really tricky.
Oh, for sure it is. And I just like, I think in a good start, and I'm again saying this, I think a good start in preseason is also important. I think when we play the Kings in 11 days, counting down, when we play the Kings, it's important we come out with some sense of urgency, at least. I don't want LeBron playing 48 minutes, obviously.
Austin Reaves locking down Malik Monk full court every possession they share at the court.
I listened to a podcast earlier and they did the Kings roster. I was like, wow, that's actually a lot better.
It's
than
not bad, right?
Yeah, I was like, Kevin Herter, Sabonis.
I don't think they're going to stop anybody, but they'll be in some shootouts. And if enough of their threes go in, like, that's a team that's going to win some games. But
yeah, I mean, they're trying to win 40 games. I mean, that's kind of
I remain a De'Aaron Fox skeptic. So,
okay. Yeah. I was higher on him earlier.
Still would have taken Lonzo over De'Aaron in that draft. I stand by it.
Well, Fox's year two, I think, was the jump, right? Fox made like a really nice jump in year two.
But it wasn't a jump. It was just unsustainable shooting luck.
Yep. But you combine that with like, because his speed is legit.
His speed is legit, yes.
Yeah. So you combine his shooting with like ability to like get to the basket at a few speed. But his finishing has dropped off as well. It's strange.
Yeah,
his playmaking hasn't jumped.
He doesn't get to the rim as often as you would want, considering how good his finish, like his speed is. But anyway, this is not a De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot on De'Aaron Fox.
It's just like I think about where the Lakers are going to land in the conference. Mm-hmm. And like I always default back to the division. And I think three of the teams are just convincingly better than the Lakers in the division. So, I mean, could they finish last in the division? I don't think so. But like those games against the Kings are going to be very important. They are.
Absolutely. You need to get every game that you can. I mean, the whole league is good. I mean, like, so I was looking at our earlier schedule, I think I told you a few months ago, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, Cleveland, that's like a win, right? And then they trade for
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, so like the league is just tough.
You got to make sure you beat Utah. We don't even get Utah four times. That sucks. It would have been great to get Utah four times this year.
The THT revenge game.
Yeah, that's not happening. It's not happening.
Oh my bad.
I misspoke. We do get Utah four times. It must be somebody else is taking that we don't get four times.
Hmm. Okay.
It's the Thunder.
Yeah, so that's why I'm interested how they go into this after a whole summer telling us they're trying to trade Russell Westbrook to now try to sell the vision around, you know, him. I'm interested in that. But glad we got to talk about on the court because I think it's important. I think there are ways to, you know, try to harness what Russ is still good at without just lying, saying he's going to become Draymond Green or something like that. Like, those are things that are not based in reality. He's not going to go and set 50 ball screens. Like, he's not going to become, you know, a ball screen setter. Like, he's not going to roll to the rim off screen.
He could, but
he's not going to. So, those, like, I take those out.
But, like, but he's okay, going part to, of yeah. him becoming Draymond Green is, like, harnessing that defensive IQ, right? Which Russ, God bless him, he just doesn't have, right? But he could set screens. Like, we've seen it happen.
But that's not going to...
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, Raj, last question. Last question before we get out of here. Because we're just going in circles.
This is fun.
Do you feel convinced that there is a good version of Russ in there?
I think there's a playable version of Russ in there.
Okay.
So...
playable version of Russ gets how many minutes?
Like 25 minutes a game.
Oh, we're doing 25 minutes of Russell Westbrook. Okay. I gotta be honest, that might even be more like disrespectful to him than benching him outright.
We have eight
25
guards,
minutes.
Serena, that we have to find minutes
25
for.
minutes. Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, you
Well,
heard it here
25 minutes
first.
is, well, it's not 15 minutes, right? It's at least, you know,
Raj
it's a.
wants to play Russell Westbrook half of the game. I take it you listened to the Lakers Exceptionalism podcast where Tom talked about playing him for 15 minutes a game. Because that cracked me up.
So that and him coming off the bench are just not things that I think are going to happen at all. There's just no way. He's not
He
coming off the bench
plays,
for
he's
Kendrick
getting
Nunn.
32 minutes. I am just, that's just how it has to happen. And so, Lonnie, you know, Kendrick, Austin, Dennis, Pat, just do your very best to earn minutes around that.
So then he better be all the things that we just hope for, because if he's playing 32 minutes a game and not defending and not being attentive, we're not going to win a
That's
lot of games,
not what
Sabrina.
Darvin Ham sold us on. I agree. I agree.
We're not going to win a lot of games.
Well, you know, hopefully we win three. Anyway, with that, this has been I Love Basketball on the Silver Screen Roll Podcast Network. I would say that we have shows about the Lakers every day of the week, but apparently with Anthony on paternity leave, we do not. So make sure to come back on Sunday for Can You Dig It with Jacob and Media Days on Monday. So real life Lakers talk will be beginning ever so shortly.